Jeanne Flavelle's Hot Commodity Podcast Series. Empowering clients with commercial intelligence, supply chain expertise, and risk management solutions. Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Mike Coughlin, President CEO of McKinney Flavelle, and today is October 19, 2018, and welcome to our Hot Commodity Podcast Series. I'm joined today by Craig Ruffalo, Vice President of McKinney Flavelle. Hello, Craig. Happy Friday.
Hey, Mike. Happy Friday. Rock and roll.
Unbelievable.
I know.
The week is already over, and people are driving home right now, listening to our podcast.
I know. Isn't that cool?
I'm going to have such a great weekend with my family. It's going to be great.
I know.
I'm going to either watch the Dodgers or the Brewers win this weekend. I'm going to watch the Boston Red Sox just rest for a while.
You've already called that one, have you?
Yeah. You know, like I think it was last, I don't know, two podcasts ago, you said the Houston Astros would do really well. And they did, but they just fell a little short. I think game three they lost right at the end or four.
Oh, what a miraculous catch that was in the game in the balance. Yeah, and the NBA has started up again for all those basketball junkies out there.
Oh, my gosh. Yes. What a great time.
We're on for another title run here in the Bay.
Yes, let's do it.
I know. Let's have another parade. Why not?
Be great. Well, thank you, everybody, for joining us today. Craig, I thought we would talk about two things. One, crop progress for sugar as well as corn, and give people insight. Maybe give them insight on that. And then we'll wrap it up with a little fun and volatility with cocoa. So why don't you go ahead and get started on hearing some cold weather up in the Midwest.
Them, they're cold. The winter's come in. I know, right? It's kind of everybody get ready. It might be one of those extended winters. Sorry to say it, everybody. But yeah, as farmers go, they've been a bit perplexed with the weather. They would hope to get in and get those fields harvested ahead of all of this cold weather. But they've been sitting around for the last couple of days hoping to see the change. The beet sugar industry is a bit behind on their normal crop progress by now. According to USDA, about 42% of the crop has been harvested overall. It's about 20% behind the five-year average. The Midwest, the core areas of the Red River Valley, have really had some issues, not just with the cold weather not being allowed to harvest, but also worrying about the crop itself. Mike, we talked about yesterday in a group meeting at their commodity meetings, we talked about the fact that it's the last 30 days of this crop where the beet sugar really puts on its sugars.
Right.
And if you don't stress that, I'll call it a taproot, a little bit, and you can't get that beet to really kind of settle in, it could lose sugars. And that's what we're a little bit worried about now. And so we've got two areas specifically, the southern Minnesota crop and the Mindat crop are not doing as well as they'd like, but we'll find out at the end if the tonnage that they are estimating will make up a little bit for the lack of sugar content.
Yeah, so I mean, I guess that begs the question, is this a reason for big concern at this point, or do you think we'll still have a great crop, and what would be your expectation on a total beet crop this year?
Well, I think it's the first blip out of what would have been a record crop. Yep. I think we were anticipating between us and USDA and other analysts out there, we were looking at anywhere between a 5.3 and a 5.4 million short ton raw value beet crop.
Holy sugar beet.
Yeah, I mean, that's a lot of beet sugar. And, you know, USDA came out last week and lowered that number from their previous estimate by 100,000 tons plus. And with the way things are progressing, there's indications that there may be further degradation and could see that number fall all the way down to about 5.15, which would match 2016-17 crop, Mike. So I think there's a little bit of a reset button being hit.
Okay.
In the expectations of the beet sellers, where they might have been at, say, 60-70% forward covered for this crop at a higher crop production number. I think now they're probably closer to 75-80%,
okay,
maybe even a little bit more than that on this lower beet crop number. So a little bit of concern, yeah.
A little bit of concern, and we won't give the punchline away, but I think that means maybe a little tightening on pricing as well.
Yeah, I think so. I think you see, like I said, I think we've had a little bit of a reset button hit by the selling community to take a pause here and make sure they know exactly what kind of production they're going to end up with.
Cool, got it. Anything on sugar? You want to talk cane, or you want to just move right over to corn?
Well, yeah, I think no great shakes, as another wonderful analyst that we talked to uses, as far as the Canes side goes. Michael didn't really do anything as a hurricane, not you, but Hurricane Michael didn't really do any damage to the cane crop, as we know. But, I think overall crop's progressing okay.
Okay.
There's some weather in Louisiana, but again, as we're understanding, nothing's impacting the crop.
Excellent.
On corn, a little bit of the same as far as the story goes. Slowed down those last 2 weeks on the crop progress, but we're still running around 40% of this crop harvested to this point, according to USDA. It's a little bit above the 5-year average. That slowdown the last 2 weeks, slowed the pace down to where they may be on the 5-year average come next week. And my suspicion is that if they get that good weather, say start of next week through the next 12, 15 days, they'll probably get the crop between 85 and 95% harvested. That's that quick if they can get in the fields.
Wow. That is quick.
Yeah. Hey, GPS and all this stuff is wonderful for these farmers. They can get out in the fields and be out there harvesting 24/7.
That's pretty awesome. Okay, cool. Yeah. Well, do you want to move over to cocoa?
I think we should. I think you got to give us an indication of what's going on the bean market out there.
Talk about a yo-yo effect. I mean,
a yo-yo.
I'm going to go yo-yo. Wow. Because, as many of those that are in the chocolate industry, a chocolate buyer or watch futures, boy, this thing just goes up and down and has for, gosh, over 10 years now. And
that's a long yo-yo.
It's a long
session,
I think. It is.
Yeah.
World record.
I mean, that could be a world record. That could be some Guinness stuff talking.
Exactly. Just to give you an idea, a couple of things going on. Grind numbers were released just recently. North America was up for Q3, up 2.5%, which was a little higher than expected. Most were thinking 1-2%. And then Asia came out at up 3.7%.
Wow.
Also a little bit higher. So what that means is, you've got good grinds and good consumption still happening. A couple other things that are big to note as you're looking at futures. One is the farm gate price in Ivory Coast and Ghana were announced for this next crop. And Ghana decided to leave it unchanged, and Ivory Coast increased it from 700 to 750 CFA francs. So wanting a little bit more for the farmers, which ultimately could cause for some buying in the cocoa futures market at some point.
Wow. Why did you think Ghana kept things the same? I had understood from previous conversations, they were really adamant to try to get an increase for that.
Yeah, well, and I think the reason they did that, if you remember last year, they actually increased or left their farm gate price unchanged, right? So going into that season, the cocoa futures had gone down pretty drastically. And so keeping their farm gate price elevated, a lot in the industry were concerned about the loans that the cocoa bod takes out, as well as what that would mean. Whereas the Ivory Coast did decrease that farm gate price. So, I think that's probably why they didn't touch it.
Okay.
But one thing you need to understand is that, and you've heard in the news, is that they've been trying to come up with a co-marketing strategy.
Yeah.
Representing 70% of the entire world production and combining efforts on marketing together is interesting to say the least.
Yeah, the OPEC of the cocoa market.
Yeah, so time will tell to see if that works. But I think that's pretty big news.
Yeah, with the volatility, Mike, in the cocoa futures that we've seen over the last, and particularly as we look forward to 19 for the last 4 or 5 months, when or if do you think most of the people went in and did covering for 19 on futures, or have they yet?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think as the market started coming down, people were layering extended coverage. Typically, we see industrial users on average out about 5 to 7 months.
Okay.
But where we're at now, I mean, you've come down to some levels that are extremely attractive. So I think when you look at the market, a lot of it is driven by the funds, not much happening from a commercial standpoint, either for cocoa futures or powder, because the users are far, far out. And we've even heard people taking future coverage in 2020. So
wow.
I just think, as we talk about sugar, for example, Sometimes you have little activity because of forward coverage. So if you're looking at the market, it's driven a lot by the funds. And we all know the funds like to take any story and elevate its importance.
Yeah, they do.
You look at a couple things. El Nino developing, which we all know is bad for cocoa growing areas like the Ivory Coast, Ghana, as well as Indonesia. So that's something that I'm making sure we watch out for. And we've got elections in both the Ivory Coast and Ghana coming in 2020. So
okay,
we've seen from the past that that can really bull the market and cause concern. So if I were a cocoa buyer, I'd be going out pretty long at this point. If I were a powder buyer, I'd do the same.
Okay. That was my follow-up question was, if you're going to be in the market for powder, how far forward do you cover? Do you cover into 2020 or do you just leave it through calendar year 19?
If my supplier offers it, I'm doing it, because if you look at a cocoa powder chart, it's been relatively flat near the lows, historical lows. And boy, it's a lot more upside than downside. So
yeah, oh, I hear you. Hey, I like that recap. Thank you.
Yeah.
Anybody out there is going to take your advice and run with it, I'm telling you.
Oh, I hope so. Anyway, they can call me if they have other questions too, right?
They should call you.
Hey, you know, Craig, we have our webinar coming up next week on October
24th. We do, 24th. Yeah. I believe. Is that correct?
Yeah, and you can simply go on our website and register on our website.
Really? Yeah. Is it that easy?
It's that easy.
I love it.
And you know what you also can do on our website?
What is that? Tell me.
You can check out all the detail in our new non-GMO study that we did.
Oh, the GMO-free gamble. Is it paying off to go that direction? I think that's a wonderful idea. Have you read the study? I know you have. It's fantastic.
Oh, yeah. Wonderful report.
It is well done.
The team did a wonderful job doing it.
I agree.
So check it out. And if you have more questions, give us a call.
Give us a call is right.
Well, until next week, guys, what are you doing this weekend? Craig, anything fun?
Coaching football, coaching basketball, barbecuing. We've got a barbecue to go to this weekend.
Thank God.
Yeah. How about you?
I'm going to the Quakes game on Sunday to see Chris Wondolowski break.
Soccer.
Landon Donovan's record. That's what I'm doing.
Oh, my God. That's awesome. Enjoy that, will you?
I will.
I think you'll be one of 12.
Maybe they're 13, 14.
Awesome.
All right, everybody. Have a good weekend.
Have a great weekend, everybody.
That concludes this podcast episode. For more information, visit us on the web at bikini-favel.com. Also, follow us on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter for the latest industry news, updates, and intelligence.